last given this teaching, actually 2 years ago, on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So you might remember it. I don't know. I'm getting a real echo. Is that me? Or I never know, you know. I have brought my notes, and Dwight has them at the door. Not my notes on the sermon, but notes that I've compiled with all Bible verses about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What do we need, honey? This one's not going to work, huh? Be okay. Are we going to be able to hear me okay? My greatest critic, can you hear me? For those who might not know, that's my husband. In the Assemblies of God, we have 16 fundamental doctrines. And we have these leaflets. If Cheryl doesn't have enough to give to you, if you want some, we'll be sure and get some. 16 fundamentals of faith. That's what we believe in the Assembly of God. And you come here, it's like we think that you believe these doctrines, or you wouldn't be coming to this church. You know, that's why people go to certain churches. They believe what they teach. And we also have this, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So, you know, if you want that. But I'll tell you, as Dwight passes out those leaflets with scriptures on them, it'll take you quite a while to go through all of the scriptures if you're really interested in what God's Word has to say about that. On the day of Pentecost, many people made fun of the Pentecostals, even accusing them of being drunk. And we have been made fun of, and we have been put down and abused. And many times it's been by other Christians who have mocked us and refused to listen to what God's Word would say about the Holy Spirit. I was brought up in church. I was brought up and was saved when I was 13. I backslid when I was 14, but I knew in my heart salvation. And the only time I ever heard about the Holy Spirit was when they baptized people in water. They said, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. But other than that, I never heard about him until I was 24 years old. So it's very interesting that people can be in evangelical churches where they're hearing the Word of God preached and being born again, but never knowing. And we'll see in our stories today that this happened to some other early Christians too, who began to serve the Lord. Bible story. I wanted to tell you the 3 points that I'm going to bring out today. Number one is the gospel is for whosoever will believe. Everyone can be born again. God wants, it's his will that none should perish. The second one is the baptism of the Holy Spirit continued to be poured out on believers long after the day of Pentecost and still today. And then number three, the evidence of speaking in other tongues is necessary as proof of one's initial filling of the Holy Ghost. And these are our doctrine in our church. So it's important that we know that. So salvation is not just for the Jews. Jesus died for all men. So everyone is to be saved if they will. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost continued to be poured out on believers long after the day of Pentecost. God didn't send the beautiful Comforter, the Holy Spirit, just to certain ones. It's for all Christians to receive that infilling. Evidence of speaking in other tongues is necessary as the proof that you have been filled. Now, we're going to go to the church at Jerusalem, which was their headquarters of these new evangelical Christians, Pentecostal Christians. The headquarters was at Jerusalem, but all of the leaders were Jews. All of the believers in the Jerusalem church were Jews, and they had very set ideas in their minds about being the separated people of God. And they really did not have open minds to any of the rest of us being accepted by God. Acts 11, this is where we're going, to Jerusalem. Acts 11, 1 through 3. The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." As it stands right now, the equipment that we have will not give us NIV scriptures. So what you're getting is King James scriptures, and I'm reading NIV. But we wanted you to be able to have both. And you can use the Pew Bible if you want to go along with what I'm reading. Either way, you should get the message pretty good, I think. And if you want to contribute to new equipment, hallelujah, go right ahead. We'll take it. Some of us have been praying for new equipment up there for a long time. That the Gentiles could become Christians, could be saved, could know Jesus, the Son of God, as their Savior, was really hard for them to accept. It was a big pill to swallow. They've been trained all their life. Gentiles are Gentiles. Jews are Jews. So this is very difficult. On top of that news, Peter, a devout Jew and a leader in the church, had gone into a house of Gentiles. I wonder how long it took word to get back. They didn't have what we have today. But I'm telling you, news traveled fast, just the same. Now, they heard in Jerusalem Peter had gone to that Gentile house, and things had happened there. They were never to go into a Gentile home, especially never to break bread with them. As far as Jews were concerned, Gentile food was unclean to them. No way. And Gentiles were unclean. And it was a very special thing in that culture to go into someone's home and eat. Now, you know, we should not think that strange, because in our culture, you're not going to come into my house and eat unless I ask you, right? I hope. But even if you decide to come into my house and eat, I feel sorry for you. I'm not really a cook. But we understand, you know, and there are people's homes that we might not want to go into and eat. You know, we lived in the Orient 5 years, and much of their food is offered to idols before you eat it. So, you know, when you go to eat in their homes, you wonder, you know, should I be eating this? But here, they knew. Jews knew. No, don't do that. Verse 4, Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it happened. And so as in this chapter 11, he's explaining to the church at Jerusalem and all the elders, what took place, we already had the story in chapter 10. And I'm going to be referring back to that. Verses 5 through 10 and 11. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it, and I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, birds of the air. And I heard a voice telling me, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." I replied, "Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth." The voice spoke from heaven a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. You know, having the baptism of the Holy Spirit is going to make you more sensitive to the things of God. Yeah, I could stand an amen. You will be more open to visions and dreams. On the day of Pentecost, as Peter was explaining the outpouring of the Spirit, he quoted from the Old Testament book of Joel, where it says, "I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your young men will see visions, and your old men dream dreams." So don't be surprised if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you have visions and you have dreams. This is part of what God gives you. Three times God gave Peter this same vision of unclean animals, and that he was to eat them, not call them unclean. And the emphasis that God gave was what he makes clean, Peter is not to say it's unclean. So the vision was puzzling to Peter. He didn't really, at that moment, understand. It was puzzling to him. But the answer to the meaning came very quickly. Verses 11 and 12. "Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house." Can you imagine? As these leaders hear this, Peter's saying God told him to do it. Peter's saying God spoke to him in this vision and then told him, "Go with them. Don't even think about it. Go with them." He accepted God's leading, and then six of the brothers with him went too. So God really is moving. And I like that because the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter will be established. And many times if God is moving on one of us, he'll confirm it through someone else. How many of you noticed that the music set was all about the Holy Ghost? Did any of you notice that? Only one person noticed that. Goodness sakes. Dean, who led worship, is our son. He's not particularly fond of me butting into what he's doing. And so when he chooses songs for morning worship on Sunday, he does his own thing. He doesn't ask Mama for anything, except once in a while he'll pick a hymn and ask me about it. But it's his choice. And so as the week was beginning, I knew I was going to preach on the Holy Ghost. And I knew I couldn't tell him, "Hey, why don't you get some Holy Ghost songs?" Because he wouldn't buy into that. So I just asked him the first of the week, "Have you got songs for Sunday?" He says, "Yeah." I said, "Down with, look for those songs." And I got them just bang, 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 just like that. I says, "What's your theme?" He says, it's all Holy Spirit. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter is established. So six guys went with Peter to this Gentile home. It's a good thing. Verses 13 and 14. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. This is the same story you read in chapter 10. It goes into more detail where Cornelius was a man that prayed to God. He's a Roman soldier, but he had a heart for God, and he did good things. He was well thought of, and while he was praying, God spoke to him and told him to go to Joppa and send for Peter. Thank God he was obedient to that. This is a milestone of revelation that salvation is for everyone, because you have to know up to this point, their minds were very closed about anyone other than Jews being saved. Peter accepted God's vision, and his six followers also, and they went into this Gentile home, and they broke bread with them. More importantly, they broke the bread of life, God's word. Cornelius obeyed the vision that God gave him, sent for them. He opened his heart, he opened his home, he opened his family to the gospel and his whole household. Everyone that was close to him that he loved, he brought in to hear what Peter had to say. Verses 15 through 17, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God? Baptism of the Holy Spirit. You will find this scripture, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter should be established. And on the notes that you can take home with you, you'll see all of those scriptures and where to find them, so you can read it for yourself. Christians are supposed to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Supposed to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read that portion from chapter 10, verses 44 through 47. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They've received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So these verses cover both points 2 and 3 of my message. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was not just confined to the day of Pentecost, because this is many, many years later, over 20 years later, that this took place. And it was not poured out only on the disciples. Of course, you know that, because on the day of Pentecost, there were 120 in the room. I think that's interesting too, because it says that after Jesus rose from the dead, he was seen not only by the disciples, but by 500. After Jesus rose from the dead, he was seen by 500. Isn't that interesting, that you might have had 500 believers that saw Jesus alive, And yet only 120 went to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's just a thought I'm throwing in there. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is for you today. Just it was for them and for Christians all down through the ages. But many Christians still can't wrap their minds around it, wrap their hearts around it. And of course, if you've been sitting in a church that's been teaching you against being baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's what your head, your mind, your heart has been filled with. That's a sad state of affairs. The evidence that you've received the baptism in the Holy Ghost is that you'll speak in an unknown language. Each time the Bible tells us about people being baptized in the Holy Ghost, they speak in other tongues. It's as simple as that. One of our fundamental doctrines, if you're Assembly of God, you come here and you let people know you're Assembly of God, they're going to believe that you believe. This is what we believe. Acts 19, I'm going to take you to another story. Acts 19, 1 through 7. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we've not even heard that there's a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. So, as he arrives in this town, city, Ephesus, he finds disciples, people that believe. You have to know that when you got saved, when you became a believer, the Holy Spirit came to live in your heart. He lives in you. He lives in you. So many people get confused and think that we're saying you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They think we're saying you don't have the Holy Spirit. That's not true. We know you have the Holy Spirit if you're saved, born again. You've given your heart and life to Jesus. But God's Word says then you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And it tells you back on in the first part of Acts, so you'll be witnesses for Him. His baptism in His Spirit is going to change the person you are, even more than your salvation. He's going to do a lot of things, and I'll get to those in a minute. These believers did not realize they could be baptized, immersed in the Holy Spirit. And as they were baptized in water, a Christian baptism in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, Paul laid hands on them, and they received the baptism. And they spoke in tongues and prophesied. If you've been saved, you need to be filled. Bible repeats this message over and over. Be filled with the Spirit. What do you think he means when he tells you that? You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can also be refilled. There are many times of refreshing and refilling as you worship the Lord and seek to give yourself to Him. I have a study Bible, and it gives some of the blessings that you can expect when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read you some. I know reading is kind of tedious, but these are very good. A genuine baptism in the Holy Spirit will cause us to love, magnify, and glorify God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ more than before. A genuine baptism in the Holy Spirit will increase the consciousness of our relationship with the Heavenly Father, will lead to a greater awareness of Christ's presence in our daily lives. A genuine baptism in the Holy Spirit will cause a greater love for and appreciation of Scripture. Hallelujah. It'll make you hungry for the Word, and it'll give you understanding of it when you read it. A genuine baptism in the Holy Spirit will deepen our love and concern for other followers of Christ. A genuine baptism in the Holy Spirit will intensify our displeasure with the sinful enjoyments and godless pleasures of the world, will diminish the selfish pursuit of earthly riches and reputation. A genuine baptism in the Holy Spirit will give us a greater desire and power to witness concerning the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who wouldn't want to be filled with the Holy Ghost and have this working in your life? Of course, of course. Jesus said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be witnesses. Are you ready? Are you willing to allow that in your life? Can you want that in your life? Pastor Kevin has really opened my eyes to this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because so often and so for so long, we're taught that by seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, praying for the baptism, we're trying to get more Jesus. And Pastor says that's not true. When you got saved, you have Him. When you seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're seeking to give yourself more to Him. You're seeking to let go of yourself. And let Him have more of you. I love this teaching that He's brought to us. What an eye-opener. That when I'm worshiping and seeking Him, I'm saying, I'm giving you me. I'm giving you everything about me. I'm giving you all of me. And folks, they're going to start playing a song, and it's the altar call. I'd like to have you all stand. If you, this morning, have been touched by the Holy Spirit to give Him your all, will you come to the altar? There'll be some that will come and pray with you. Even if you just want to worship Him, I would like to have us fill the altars today, please. You that are prayer partners, you in the church that are leaders, please, we need to be here. Would you turn that up?